All right, let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. We're going to be looking at verses 29 to 43. As we continue our verse-by-verse study of the Word of God, as you know, we go chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse, book-by-book, through the entire Bible. And on Sundays, we're in the book of Acts. On Wednesdays, we're in the book of Judges. And Father, we just pray, God, that you would move in our hearts and move in our lives, Lord. I just pray that your Holy Spirit will bless the teaching of the Word of God. And we just pray that you'll give us ears to hear what you have to say to us today, Lord. Move in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 10, looking at verses 29 to 43. The title of this message is God Shows No Favoritism. God shows no favoritism. Oh, this is so good to know that God doesn't favor one person over another. Whenever we show favorites, either with our children or with other people, someone is always going to end up hurt. God isn't like this, and he will tell us when we get to verse 34 in a few moments. Now, we left off with Peter coming to the house of a Roman soldier named Cornelius. And when he arrived, Cornelius had invited all of his close relatives and friends to hear the words God told Peter to tell them. Peter addressed the elephant in the room in verse 28 and said, you know that it is unlawful for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to another of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Oh, and I heard that really hit some folks last week as that word went forth. And so Peter continues in verse 29. And look what he says there in verse 29. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, for what reason have you sent for me? Now, even though Peter gave the standard Jewish answer by saying, normally I wouldn't be standing in your house, but God had to show me, referring to the vision in verses 9 through 16, that I must not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. Now, I ask you then, for what reason have you sent for me? Look at verses 30 to 33. It says, so Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent for you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we're all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. Now, in these verses, we see that Cornelius gave Peter the whole story from the beginning. He tells him in verse 30 that it was 4 days ago that he had been fasting until this very hour, and it was at noon that he was referring to. As he was praying, a man stood before him in bright clothing. We know from verses 3 and verse 7 that this man was an angel. The book of Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 2 says that angels can take on the appearance of men. And this is why Cornelius said that in this verse that it was a man stood before him in bright clothing. Oh, he tells Peter in verse 31 that his prayer had been heard and his charitable giving was remembered in the sight of God. I want to bring that to your attention. His charitable giving was remembered in the sight of God. This is what the angel came to tell Cornelius. Now, may I pause here and say that you can never outgive God. In other words, if you give financially in the name of God or for his work, he will remember it like God is doing here with Cornelius. Now, does this mean that God is watching as we give to his work or for his cause? Yes. Yes. God is watching. Oh, there's an amazing verse in Mark chapter 12 and verse 41 that says, now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. What an incredible verse. Jesus is watching us too, how we're putting our money in the offering boxes. The real question is, what is he saying? What kind of heart are we giving to God? What are we giving to the Lord? Are we giving grudgingly or out of necessity? Or are we giving cheerfully like 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7? Or, I didn't even think of this just now, or do we see those boxes and keep walking? God sees this. Either way, God is watching. And when we give out of a pure heart, it will be remembered in the sight of God, like we see here with Cornelius. He continues in verse 32, telling Peter, his story, and how the angel told him to send men to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. Oh, he tells Peter in verse 33 how he was obedient to the angel's words when he said this to him. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we're all here present before God to hear all the words and all the things commanded you by God. I can see after Cornelius said this, he sat on the edge of his seat. Okay, we're ready. We're here to hear some words from you, from God, that's, notice, been commanded to you by God. Oh, I find it fascinating that Cornelius, a Roman soldier, uses the word commanded. Because it was a military word in the Greek language. The Greek word is prostasso, and which refers to a military order. He understood that when the Lord spoke, it was a command demanding obedience. And Cornelius, a Roman soldier, was ready to receive his orders from the Lord. Oh, my desire for us as a church to see God's commands as just that, commands and not suggestions. I wish that one day our eyes would be open to see the Lord's authority in our lives, like the centurion understood in Luke chapter 7 in verses 1 through 10. He said, Jesus, my servant is sick, and I don't need for you to come to my house. If you just speak the word, my servant will be healed. He said, I'm a man under authority. I tell this one to do this and to do that, and he does it. You have authority over all things, even this sickness. So just speak the word, and it will be done. Oh, Jesus said in Luke 7, verse 9, I have not seen such great faith, not even in Israel. When I bring this up, because so often in our lives, we pick and choose what orders from God and his word we're going to follow, and which orders we will not follow. The Bible teaches us that we're in the Lord's army. Did you know, you say, I didn't serve in the military. Well, if you're a Christian, you're in God's army. 2 Timothy 2:3-4 says, endure hardship as a good soldier. For no one who engages in warfare entangle himself in the affairs of this life, but that he may please him who enlisted him to be a soldier. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God in bringing down strongholds and casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Oh, Ephesians 6:11-18, it says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. We're in the army of the Lord. If we only understood this like Cornelius did, we will experience more joy and peace in our Christian walks. Many of you think, and you might have heard and been under teaching, to think we're on some cruise ship cruising to heaven. We're on a battleship stationed at the gates of hell. We're in the Lord's army. This is serious business. Oh, the question is, have you enlisted yet? We're in the Lord's army. This is, Cornelius understood this clearly. And oh, blessed be the day when we understand it. We're in the Lord's army. We have to get our orders from our commander in chief, Jesus Christ. Something else I want to bring to your attention. How many of you have heard that God doesn't hear the prayers of unbelievers? Oh, God doesn't hear the prayers of sinners. Well, this verse says otherwise. For although Cornelius was not yet a believer, an angel appeared to him saying in verses 4 and verse 31, God had heard his prayer. So here's Cornelius in a house full of relatives and close friends ready to hear words from Peter that God, notice, commanded him to say. Look at verses 34 to 43 so we can get the context. Said, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly. Not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to justify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Now, in this short sermon, Peter gave these people who gathered in the house of Cornelius the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, he starts out by saying in verse 34 that God isn't showing favorites when it comes to salvation. He is not favoring the Jews only. For Peter to say this was huge because the Jews had developed an elite attitude to the point where they looked down on the Gentile world, or anyone who wasn't a Jew was only fit to keep the flames of hell burning. Now here is Peter saying that God doesn't show personal favoritism towards any one person or race. Please let that sink in. Maybe you're here and you're like the Jewish people at this time, with a prideful, arrogant, elite attitude towards your race. God shows personal favoritism towards no one. Then why should we? Did you know that my identity is in Christ? My identity is not in my race. Did you know that? Well, I can look in the mirror and tell you what I am, race-wise. But my identity is in Christ. I can't help how much melanin is in my skin. I can't help that. Watch this. This is going to blow you away. The mature man or mature woman in Christ echoes the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:16, which says, for I regard or know no man after the flesh. In other words, Paul was saying, I am no longer looking, judging, treating people based upon how they look on the outside. Don't allow this world and their sinful actions and behavior to get you caught up And you try to bring that racist mess in this church because I personally will run you out. We have over 30 different countries in attendance at our church, and I will not allow anyone to bring their American black, white, racist issues in here. I won't do it. I won't allow it. I won't have it. Oh, I've said this in times past, especially since 2016, and we've lost some people. And I'm okay with that. It's better for you to leave than I run you out. Yeah. And I don't mind. Don't bring it in here. Don't bring it in here. See, my job is to teach you to have a biblical mindset, not a worldly mindset. I'm give a biblical mindset. I'm here to train your mind how to think biblically, not think racially, not think worldly, but think biblically. That's my job. I'm not up here. I'm not here. Please listen to me carefully. I'm not here to give you a running commentary on the events in the world out there. That's not my job. My job is to teach you the word of God from Genesis to Revelation, all 31,102 verses, 1,189 chapters. That's my job. Not to give you a running commentary on the latest shooting or the latest event that's out there in the world or who's in the White House. That's not my job. I will deal with those issues as they naturally come up in the flow of scripture. I am not the Christian news anchor that's going to give you a running commentary on what's happening out there. If you're looking for that, you're in the wrong place. I'm here to teach you the Bible so you can think biblically. I'm not up here for some political agenda, some racial agenda. I'm not here for that. And if you come in here for that and I get wind of it, I'm going to chase you right on out. I'm going to confront you first. And then I'm going to chase you out if you insist on bringing that foolishness in here. I think I made myself clear. Okay. Peter is very clear in verse 34. God shows no partiality or favoritism. And as believers, we shouldn't either. Because of verses like this one, as well, it says the same thing in Romans 2:11 and 1 Timothy 5:21 says it. So don't show favors with your children, with different races. Because if our goal is to be like Christ, he is saying that he doesn't show favorites, nor should we. Oh, this is how Peter starts off his mini sermon. Yeah, isn't that amazing? Giving Cornelius and his relatives and friends hope that they can be saved too, not just the Jewish people. Oh, this was mind-boggling. He confirms this in verse 35 when he says, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Oh, Peter is telling them that God doesn't limit his work to any one nationality. The Jews were taught that to be saved, you had to become a Jew first. That's what they taught. God is saying, whoever fears me and works righteousness is accepted by him. Now see, what Peter is saying is that if a person is doing these religious things that Cornelius was performing, it doesn't save him. It just makes him a perfect candidate for salvation. So when Peter preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to them, they were ripe for the picking. However, it wasn't enough for Cornelius to know that his prayer was heard. He needed to know how to experience the forgiveness of his sins and be delivered from the judgment to come. Oh, Peter now turns his attention to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He tells them in verse 36, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. Peter is teaching them the only way to have peace with God is through Jesus Christ. Oh, Paul would later say the same thing in Romans 5 verse 1 that says, therefore, Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The word justified in the Greek language is a judicial word that means to be declared innocent. He says, having been justified or be declared innocent because of our sin, we're all guilty before God. So having been justified or declared innocent by the blood of Jesus Christ, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. The only way to have peace with God is through Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you again, do you have peace with God today? In other words, if you were to die today, would you stand before God and have peace with him? And if you say, yeah. And then I will ask you, based upon what? Based upon what? Because the only way to have peace with God is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. That word that Peter is referring to in verse 37 is the gospel. He said that it was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Now, the baptism that John the Baptist preached was a baptism of repentance, which was paving the way for them to receive Jesus, their Messiah, when he came on the scene. Oh, John the Baptist pointed people to Jesus and how God anointed him, Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with Jesus. Oh, Peter, he tells them in verse 39 that they were witnesses of all of these things which he did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, who they killed by hanging on a tree. Now, remember I said that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, at the end of verse 39, they said, whom they killed by hanging on a tree, which is a reference to death on the cross. In verse 40, he says, him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, which is a reference to the resurrection. And notice he said that Jesus didn't appear to everyone. This is what he meant by the statement, not to all people. Verse 41, that he says in verse 41, we know from 1 Corinthians 15 and verses 5 and 6, when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, that he appeared to Peter. He appeared to Mary Magdalene. He appeared to the 12 apostles, and then to over 500 people. 500 people. They ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Oh, Peter goes on to say in verse 42 that Jesus commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and of the dead. Oh, Jesus commanded them to preach. Oh, that Greek word for commanded is another military word, paragulo, should I say. It means to transmit a message, to charge, command, or order. And once again, preaching the gospel to people is not an option. It is a command given by our commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ. And the question is, are we obedient or disobedient to this command by Jesus Christ to preach the gospel to those who are around us? I can tell you today, for the most part, the church, which is made up of Christians or people who call themselves Christians, are disobedient to this command, because Satan has put fear in the church or in Christians that make up the church. You better not open your mouth about Jesus Christ. The first thing I'm going to say is I'm offended. And then the second thing, I'm going to go tell somebody and you're going to be in trouble. Therefore, the church or Christians who make up the church, they do this. And therefore, we fear man more than we fear God. Our commander in chief has commanded us. Paragulo has commanded us to transmit a message, the gospel, the only thing that can save someone's soul. We have the greatest message this world could ever hear. And Satan, he's a crafty joker, has made it where Christians can zip their mouth. Muslims got more rights than Christians do. They can talk about Allah and Muhammad. And the Muslims, They can talk about all that. And everybody's like, oh, we need to be tolerant. We need to be tolerant. Oh, Jesus Christ, he saved my soul. Oh! Quiet. Separation of church and state. Well, where was that when you're talking about the Muslims? Well, a Muslim's not a church. It's a mosque. Well, really? Okay. All right, I got you. But it's designed to shut us up. So what do? We shut up. And we have the greatest message. It's like, let me give you a great example, a modern one. It's like we, the church, we all have the cure to cancer. But we zip our lips and say nothing about it. We are morally obligated to tell folks, if we got the cure to cancer, y'all know there's really a cure to cancer, but it's more money in treating it than curing it. So they zip their mouth and won't tell you. And they keep going with the chemo, radiation, all that stuff that just kills you sooner. That was an aside. I'm sorry. I just got sidetracked. But we have the only message that can save folks' soul. The only message. And Satan has designed for us to zip our lips. Zip our lips and say nothing. We've been commanded by Jesus Christ to give this message out. But fear has kept us. The fear of losing our job. The fear of somebody being offended, the fear of, you know, I might stumble and bumble over my words, and we allow fear to zip our lips. Oh, I love how verse 43 reiterates that through his name, referring to Jesus Christ, whoever believes in him will receive remission or forgiveness of sins. I have to ask you, do you know that your sins are forgiven? If yes, then I will ask you how. If you say anything other than through the confession of my sins and believing in my heart that Jesus died for me and that he was buried and rose again for me, if you say anything other than this, your salvation is not real. Oh, I'm here to tell you the truth. I'm not here to tickle your ears. I'm here to tell you the truth. If you say, well, I was baptized as a baby, or I've been in church my whole life. That's a big one in the community I came from. But I've been a Christian my whole life. It just meant that your parents took you to church. But but in your mind, I've been a Christian my whole life. No one is a Christian their whole life. We're a sinner our whole lives. No one is a Christian. You don't come out of your mother's womb quoting verses. You don't do that. The Bible said they come forth out of the womb speaking lies. That's what Psalm said. There's a Psalm that says that. We're born sinners. We're not born coming out. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank God I'm out of there. Praise Jesus. We don't come out doing that. We don't do that. If you are banking on any other thing, then you are religious, but lost, like Cornelius was in these verses. But you can be saved today. You can. Let me conclude with this. God does not show favoritism. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, according to Romans 10 and verse 13. Whoever, white, whoever black, Hispanic, African, or whatever it is you identify with on your official forms. Salvation is for everyone. What about you? Do you have peace with God today? You can through Jesus Christ. It is a free gift. It is having a relationship with him that we have peace with God. It's by repenting of our sin and accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior. And you can receive him today through prayer. This is one prayer we know God hears. A prayer of repentance. Of getting right with God. The Greek word for repentance, it was also a military word. It meant to walk in one direction, do an about face, and walk in the other direction. That's what it means to repent. Some people think that repentance means I'm sorry. No, it can mean you can be meaning you're sorry you got caught. That don't mean you repented. Repentance means to walk in one direction, do an about face, and walk in the other direction. And turning from your sin, receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm telling you, the Bible says you shall be saved. And if you're here today and your heart is blackened with racism, calling other races common or unclean, you need to repent. Because God doesn't show favorites towards people with a certain amount of melanin in their skin. He doesn't. That's not a godly trait. And for some of you, you're so caught up on social media. You're so caught up on all the mess that's going on out in the world. And you're caught up in the middle of it. Who's sitting in the White House? You just all just... That's not the mindset, nor the heart of God, nor of Christianity. And I'm not going to allow it up in here either. You better hide it. If I hear about it, I'm going to confront you about it. And then if you're going to stand your ground, then I'm going to say, stand your ground on the other side of these doors. Don't let that doorknob hit you. You know the rest. Because that's not the heart of Christianity. That's not the heart of God. And you know what? And those in the early part of our nation who were fooling around with slavery and stuff like that, oh, they were fooling around. Fooling around. And God dealt with it on the day of judgment. They thinking, all right, let me on in. God said, you ain't coming up in here. Because their Christianity was false. You can't do that. Call another race common or unclean. Or said, you're not even a human. You're 3/5 of a human. You can't do that. You can't do that. And think you don't call yourself a Christian. Think you just going to strut all up and down the streets of gold. And no, you're not. You'll be strutting, but it ain't going to be on the streets of gold. We need to get our hearts and lives right with God. And this is the time. There's going to be some people to pray with you. Get your heart right with God. You cannot hold these views and call yourself a Christian. You can't. You can't. So are you saying all those folks were lost? A whole lot of them were. A whole lot. It's amazing. And folks are lost today. Thinking you're gonna boast in how much melanin is in your skin. Oh, yeah, we're kings. Stop all that. Stop that mess. I identify myself with Jesus Christ. My identity is in Him. It's in Him. And He said, that we're a kingdom of priests and kings. He said that. I'm not going, cut it out. Cut it out. Great movie. Great movie. Great movie. But quit fooling around. Great movie. Great movie. Quit fooling around. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your loving kindness and tender mercies. Thank you for your word. Lord, we love you because you first loved us. You demonstrated that love by going to Calvary's cross. Move among your people by your spirit today. Lord, change lives, change hearts. Lord, bring into the kingdom those who need to repent and give their lives to you, Lord. Do a work, we pray, through the word of God, through the spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen.